Blog Talk Radio.
Huge weekend of NFL play, early morning games as well as the late afternoon games, and getting ready for obviously the Patriots and Falcons. I'm your host, Oscar Lopez, and we are going to have a great show today. We have two amazing people lined up today for the show. We have the Women's Football Alliance leading record rushing holder, Whitney Zeely, and she's going to be with us here in a couple minutes. As well as at the bottom of the hour, we're going to talk NFL with John Cupo, who's part of the Yahoo Sports group, as well as you know him from ESPN Charlotte with the NASCAR on Twitter. So we're going to have two great guests today, and we're going to line up that in a couple minutes here. We welcome you to the show today. A great NFL slate of games. You know, even though my Rams lost on Thursday against the Niners, kind of Niners rebound there in St. Louis. Huge upsets today in terms of, you know, like shocking developments. For the first time probably in a long while, we're talking Browns football 2 weeks in a row, and the Cleveland Browns kind of pull up nice two wins with their new quarterback, Brian Hoyer, and given the departure of Trent Richardson to the Colts. The Colts also on a good swing of 3-1, and then the surprising win in London by the Vikings. So we'll talk about NFL as we get into the bottom of the hour with John Cupo of Yahoo Sports. Go into detail for a half hour or so on what's going on in the NFL and what his thoughts are, and kind of dive into some fantasy football in terms of, you know, who you got slated and who's he working with. So in the women's realm of the sport, as everybody knows on our timeline, we are covering pretty much Australia and Mexico, and we're covering the Australian Gridiron Game, and it's the Queensland League. Victoria League kicked off this past week. We're going to have all the updates on our Facebook page during the week, as well as the updates for the GC Stingrays and the FGLQ squads. Hats off to Lauren Evans and the squad of the GC Stingrays, which are undefeated in the Queensland League, which is an amazing feat so far. And then obviously the Logan City Jets still staying in competition. But the squads and the teams in that league are doing an amazing job in terms of being competitive. So that's a great start for them there. We also have Victoria coming up, the Gridiron Victoria, which we'll showcase within the next couple weeks on our Facebook and Twitter pages. And then ultimately, coming down the road, you're going to have New South Wales as well, the Gridiron New South Wales, and they're going to kick off their season as well. So there's three traditional full-kit leagues going on board right now in Australia. And then not to forget, obviously, in December 2013, we're going to have the Legends version of the Legends Australia, Legends Football League Australia, which is non-traditional. And in Mexico, we got the three leagues that are heading into their season. The Liga Iberoamericana, the Football League, which is the long-range version, which is the LIBF. It's in full swing now within a couple weeks. We also have the Liga Mexicana, the football, which is the equivalent of the Lingerie Football League of Mexico, and they're in their couple weeks of slate. You can get all the updates on our Facebook page as well and on our Twitter. And then we're looking forward to the first season, the first official launch season of the Pretty Girls Football League that's going to take off here on October 5th. So you'll have all the details and where to get tickets, especially if you're in Mexico or if you're up in, you know, in the Gold Coast in Australia. Please go out and support the ladies, and root them on. It's in a great time for women's gridiron internationally as well. I mean, this is a huge year for them. It's an amazing accomplishment. We got leagues in Australia getting set for 2017 in terms of the IFAB Women's World Championship, trying to field up a team there. Obviously, we have, you know, LFL Canada did not go as planned. It's a situation where they're rebounding for 2014, so we hope that that's going to be, you know, a good thing coming back into 2014 for LFL Canada. LFL itself, the LFL Legends Football League, announced that they were going to branch out into Mexico within the next couple months, so we'll see how that matures. LFL Europa is going to have their tryouts coming up here, I believe, in October in Paris. So there's a lot of things happening in the women's game beyond the traditional sense, but in the non-traditional as well. So we cover it all. If we do not cover your league, please direct message us on Twitter. We can go ahead and set you up so we can have a contact person and kind of get some details on who your top players are, who's the best athletes in your league, so we can showcase them on Facebook and Twitter and give them some press so that people understand who they are. We want to also give a hats out and a huge shout out to the Berlin Cobra ladies who won the AFVD Ladies Bowl 2013. So hats off to the German. That's in the German league. So you can get details on that on our Facebook page as well. So great weekend of women's gridiron. But at the same token, we got obviously NFL going on. Going forward, starting in October, we are going to have a co-host for our show that's going to showcase obviously NFL going forward. The on top of news and notes for the women's game going forward in terms of the last couple months until we branch out full bore into the tryouts going into March, February and March. Most of the tryouts are happening right now for the traditional game, which is the WFA, IWFL, the WSFL, the WWCFL, and the MWFL. So you can always check our timeline, or you can follow them on our Twitter feed. We on Fast Follow Fridays, you can get the at follow Twitter account for those leagues, and you can follow them exclusively individually as to what teams are having tryouts in your local area, so you can try out and see if you're good enough to make the squads and participate in American football in the women's game. So enough of the women's game. We'll get into obviously our guests at this point, but let's just let you guys know, if you're new to the show, we welcome you with open arms. Our show format is interactive, and we engage via social media, so that'd be via Twitter or Facebook. So if you want to participate, you can do that in various ways. At Twitter, you can always contact us at Gridiron Beauty, or you can use hashtag GB Radio for any comments that you want to do that. You can also call into our show if you like. It's 1-714-888-7418 to talk to our guests, so you can give us feedback as well. And on Facebook, we're at facebook.com/Gridiron Beauties. And you can also visit our No Joke Football Shop at Zazzle.com/Gridiron Beauties. So we encourage everybody to network with us by sharing retweets, posts, and information about your league, players, and organization on our social sites. And we also have a format to get the word out in terms of events, sponsorships, and branding news by using hashtag 2-Minute Drill on any post on your Twitter feed. We tally those weekly, and at the end of the show, we give a shout-out to our listeners as to where you're going to be at. So if you don't do that, it's no big deal. We're going to do the fast follows for each league, and if you put yourself in that aspect, obviously the fans will know where you're at. So as long as we get the fast follows on Friday, it should be a good thing for everybody. So we want to thank our amazing network of sources that provide us with women's gridiron news and notes globally, because without them, we would not be here today and bringing you the news and notes of the women's game. I want to give a shout-out to at Backseat Coach, at WFA Scores, at IWFL, at the WCFL, Football Nacional, FX Mexico, Janet TV Football, FIFA Under Spain, the WTF Canada, which is Women's Tackle Football Canada, as well as Canada Chat for their amazing work on their leads out there in Canada, and Touchdown Europe, which is the exclusive home of the IFAB Women's World Championship this year, and they cover pretty much everybody in the European scene, so that's our network partner there. So if you have anybody that we need to follow for information on that, you can always contact us as well. Since we are in the U.S., we cover the most prominent leagues during the seasons, which is the Gridiron Game, which is the WFA, the IWFL, the WSFL, the WWCFL, the MWFL, the LFL US, all branches, the WAFL, the SSFL, and the WIFL that will kick off in 2014. On the international scene, we cover the Guam Women's Tackle Football League, which is an affiliate of the IWFL, the LNMF in Spain, the CIFF in Italy, the Female Gridiron League of Clemson, as we talked about earlier in the front. The Aquamen's League is going to be setting up in probably in another year here with some full squads as well. LFL Australia, which is the Legends version as well. And in Mexico, we cover FX Mexico, AFFE Mexico, and PGFL, as well as the LIBF, and the LMNFL. So a lot of acronyms to follow. But a lot of amazing women's gridiron happening worldwide in the slate, and gridiron Australia, as well as Mexico in the full slate this during the season of the NFL season. You can visit us on Facebook under the likes section for all the women's gridiron leagues that we follow. So if we don't follow your league, let us know, and we will start following your league as well. So let's get started. We're going to go to the exciting part of our show, which is the No Joke Football Huddle. And the No Joke Football Huddle is sponsored by No Joke Football Gear. You can find it at Zazzle.com/Gridiron Beauties, and that's Sport Your Attitude at No Joke Football. So let's see if we got Whitney on the line here, and I believe she's on. Whitney, are you on?
Hi.
Hi, Whitney. Good afternoon. How are you doing today on the East Coast?
I'm doing pretty good. We're having some good weather here. I'm doing pretty good, watching a little bit of football.
Awesome. Were you watching any of the games this morning or afternoon?
I got home a little later, so I was just tuning into the Broncos Eagles game.
Are you a Bronco fan?
I can't say I am. I'm not a hardcore fan of any team. I do obviously root for the Patriots. I'm a hometown girl, but
so you're more of a you are basically a Patriot fan.
Yes. Yes, and that's a little nerve-wracking admitting because I know a lot of people think New England fans are crazy, but I am.
Now, Whitney, this evening tonight, you go against Matt Ryan and the Falcons, and everybody's questioning Tom Brady and the no weapons around him attitude right now. What do you feel of this team right now? Since you kind of got a couple weeks into it, look at it. Do you feel like he's it doesn't have any weapons, or you think this team's going to evolve as the weeks go by and get better?
I think the team is already evolving as weeks go by. It seems like most people doubted us coming into the season because we don't have our typical offensive weapons, Gronk and Hernandez and Wes Welker. But I think we're surprising people on defense. I don't think our offense is what it was, but I think if we can find that balance between the two, we may be all right. And it seems like Atlanta isn't having, their best season to date. So I don't think we'll be in too much trouble this game.
Now, Whitney, everybody, thinks of Tom Brady as this huge god. And when he has a letdown game, everybody's assuming there's something wrong. Do you guys in that area in Boston, do you guys feel like he still has that game, that magic game? Because a lot of people nationally sometimes have to question somebody after they've, fallen off. But, given the circumstances that he's in right now, obviously there's still a learning curve at some sort with receivers and being that Gronkowski is not in the game and being that Amendola's out. So there's, some key weapons that are not there. So is there a positive sense, you think, around New England right now that they're just going to, they're not going to steamroll, obviously, but they're going to keep going to a situation where maybe they're playoff bound?
I think it seems like I can speak mostly about myself, but it just seems like Brady is under a lot of pressure this year because he doesn't have his usual weapons. But in my point of view, it's hard being a quarterback because you are held higher up than, some of your other teammates, but we can't put it all on his shoulders. And I think it seems like from listening to talk radio, we aren't putting it entirely on his shoulders. We know that he's working with some younger receivers and some new receivers, but we know that he hasn't been playing at his best. And I think we believe that he eventually will get there. We are going to grow as the season develops, and we are going to mesh as an offense and find a balance that works for us as an offense.
Now, Whitney, the division is not very strong. I mean, I'm not sold on Miami. I'm, no matter what everybody says, I'm not really sold on Miami to begin with. The Jets are always the Jets, as far as I'm concerned. Not that, you want to mock them off, but they're always the Jets, and they're always having some sort of drama controversy with, offensive outputs and stuff like that. And then you look at Buffalo with E.J. Manuel. Probably the only bright side out of the whole division right now is that Buffalo is somewhat of a better team than normally everybody expected. So in your eyes right now, early in the season, do you feel like maybe it's Miami and Buffalo, the team that you guys have to watch for in terms of getting to maybe a division title?
I think so. It seems like that's what it's going to wind down to. But I feel confident with the Patriots. I think we're definitely going to have a playoff run, despite, you know, the different look our team has this year. I think one thing about us is we've consistently made it to the playoffs. So I think we'll definitely make it there. Whether or not we win the Super Bowl, I don't know. But I think Patriots will be at the top of the AFC East at least.
So now, Whitney, we go on that note, and let's go back in history a couple, a couple months from now, which was a couple months back, and we are literally sitting here talking to the best player in the Women's Football Alliance in terms of rushing, and so that's for us is an honor to talk to you because we've been trying to get you on the show for a couple weeks, even right after the season. But I know you're a busy lady and you got other things outside of football. So we do appreciate you coming on board because we had fans asking, why haven't you interviewed the WFA record, rushing record holder? And it's like, okay, we're working on it. So it's an honor to be talking to you finally, because there's a lot of fans on our Twitter feed and our Facebook page that do follow Women's Gridiron, and they're very interested in terms of, who can accomplish certain things in the women's game because it's really not highly profiled as it should be. And that's where we wanted, we want to support that. We want to get it to that level where people realize that they're obviously incredible athletes playing the women's gridiron game and showcasing those folks in terms of their talents. So what did you feel, this season when you started the season? Let's go back to training camp at the beginning of the season. And I know, people are going to say, well, it just didn't start there. But give us a little kind of insight as to how the year started for you and how it ended. But let's just go back to, tryouts, and let's go before the season kicked off. Did you have a good vibe about that you were going to do a great thing? And I know it takes, obviously teammates as well. We're not just talking yourself, but, offensive line, quarterback, and stuff like that. Did you have a good, vibe about that?
Well, I think coming off of not this loss to Chicago, but the one before that where we lost by 1 point, every team I'm sure has players at the end of the season where they go through that battle. Am I going to come back? Am I not going to come back? And I think as a team, we, heard a lot of whispers amongst ourselves about who was returning and who wasn't. But I think we all, those who committed themselves to returning for this past season, we all were so hungry to get after it again after losing by 1 point. So I felt confident that the girls I would have around me were all going to be ready and we're all going to be prepared to take on whoever approaches us this season. So just going into the off season for me, I was determined to make myself better than I was the year before. And for me, I hadn't really worked out. I wasn't much into the working out thing. I wasn't much into following NFL teams and football and really understanding it. It was just kind of like, okay, I think I'm an athlete, so I'm just going to go out there and do my thing. But this past off season, I wanted to be a football player. So I wanted to think about my diet and think about my workout routine or starting a workout routine and just think about watching the game and then approaching it from a different aspect than I have in the past. So I was confident in the work that I put in the off season. I worked with our quarterback, who's a personal trainer, so she put me on a weightlifting program and just getting stronger. Like I showed up the beginning of this season confident that I was that much better than I was last season, and the girls that I had around me were that much better than they were the season before.
Now, I know you guys have a great coaching staff because you guys have been in place for, various seasons, and you guys had, obviously championship titles, not just in the WFA, but obviously in the IWFL. So can you tell us a little bit about the tradition of the team and then how you were drawn to it in that sense because of the, what's there in existence in terms of the organization?
This past season was my third season playing, and I came out of college. I hadn't heard of women's professional football, women's tackle football, but a coach that I knew for our guys, and then semi-pro team, I had been going to a few of their games, and he had seen me, and I was probably wearing like a wife beater or something, so I had my muscles showing, and he, I'm sure, was scanning the crowd, trying to recruit people, but he is actually our receiver coach, Donnie Williams. So he told me about women's football, and I went to a game, and I think, and it's probably not just the militia, but obviously I can only speak to my experience sitting in the stands at a militia football game, it was a playoff game actually, and just A, the crowd, like the support they had around them was insane, and B, the girls on the field, they just looked like real athletes. They looked so competitive, so focused, and the coaching staff was focused, and they were winning by a lot, I'm sure, but they didn't let up at all. Like, they were hungry for it, and that is what I would say is militia tradition, is just working your butt off and working hard for everything that you earn. That was apparent to me very early on, and I ended up going to a practice, and that was even more evident. Like, they weren't taking anything for granted, working hard, trying to win that championship. And that was actually the year they won the IWFL championship. And that, to me, is just a militia mentality, just being focused the whole time, being committed to your cause, and just being supportive of the people around you. It's evident in the players. It's evident in the fans and in the coaches.
Yeah, and I think that the key right there is, like, when you get into an organization that really believes and what they like and what they do, and it's great. And then, you know, you have some USA football stars on your team, like Adrian Smith, and, you know, a lot of all-stars that have participated in all-stars. So those are key, you know, key leadership personnel and people that you can count on, and obviously that they elevate everybody else's game. And given the fact that you guys play in a real, I think you guys play in probably the toughest division in the league.
Yeah.
Not to say that every other division is not tough, but you guys pretty much, the Eastern Seaboard is no different than the AFC East, you know, where the Patriots play. I mean, you got D.C., you got the Pittsburgh. It's always a constant battle between that little triangle. And I think that it really challenges. We talked to Callie Bronson before, and we talked to Sharon Vasquez, and they really, you know, they really feel that's the reason that this little corner of the East Coast is so great for women's football, because it really elevates your game, and it's very competitive, and it's a tough division. And when you get into a situation where you go into the playoffs, given that division mindset, you're probably a little better to go into the playoffs than you were in any other division that it might be weaker in that sense. Do you believe that maybe your division is probably a tough division?
I would definitely agree. I think we definitely every year have a pretty tough road to the playoffs. You know, D.C. always gives us a good run for our money. And this year we actually got to play Pittsburgh, and that's the first time we've played them since I've been on the team. And it was great. Just, I know the organization, they put a lot into their football team, and they have great support around there. So it was great to go down there and play, and then they ended up coming here for the playoffs. But just to see a new team on the other side of the ball, a team we haven't faced, at least for me, that just makes it that much more exciting. And for them to be just as competitive as you are, it really elevates the game. And I feel like that's what we need more of in the WFA, is just level playing field in terms of just the competitive nature of some of these teams and the athletes that they have. It's really, it made the season a lot more competitive, a lot more fun. And on the other hand, when you think about how hard our division is, you know that you're going to go into the playoffs banged up, and I'm not sure that every team in the WFA can say that, just because the road isn't as equally difficult for every team. But, you know, we play some tough games. They're hard fought, and it shows. I think it showed this year with some of the injuries that we had going into the playoffs.
Yeah, and it really is a focus situation where, you know, every team seems to be more focused in that little wing of the country. And I think that's where the true, you know, women's game is really at right now in terms of the WFA. Not to take away anything from the, you know, the west side of the U.S., but I think really the bread and butter of this league really exists on the Eastern Seaboard, and I think that's a great thing for that. Now, Whitney, you get into the season. You guys, you guys faced a pretty good team in terms of, you know, a former champion and in terms of Montreal early. and you guys, you know, put together a good squad against Montreal, which Montreal is no slouch, obviously winning the championship in the other league. But as you go into the season, you're progressing into the season. What was your thoughts initially after, you know, let's say 5 weeks into it? You were on a roll. You were, you know, you obviously were scoring touchdowns now. The offensive line was doing a good job of, you know, making some holes for you and giving you opportunities and stuff like that. So what was your feeling then, you know, the early part of the season as you guys were getting to your into 4 weeks of the eight-game schedule?
Well, I think initially our season got off to a slow start just because we started the season with the bye week. So going into, you know, halfway point of the season, it was kind of like, you know, some teams may breathe a sigh of relief or they see a bye week coming up. But for us, we started with a bye week and we went, I think, with 6 games straight without a bye week. And most of those games were our tough games. So going into that point during the season, it was really my mentality and my team's mentality was now it's time to buckle up. Like, we have some wins under our belt, but we know we have a long road ahead of us. It's only going to get harder and our bodies are going to get beaten up. So that's going to be another challenge we have to face as a team. So it definitely wasn't like a sigh of relief or feeling confident and comfortable. It was kind of like, now's the time when people may expect you to slip up, but we can't. We can't at all.
Now, I know you had late injuries towards the back half of the season, right? Is that correct from what I was told? You had some late injuries towards the last 2 games probably of the season going into the playoffs late. Is that correct?
Yeah. The D.C. game, during the D.C. playoff game, I actually dislocated my shoulder a few times. And that was the first time that's ever happened to me, so it was kind of like nerve-wracking. And I'm used to being banged up, but I'm not used to being, like, injured. And that was the first time for me when I knew I was really injured. And it was awful timing, but that's the game of football, you know.
So now at that point, you know, you get into a situation where you're questioning positions on the field. People start to doubt about whether they're capable of running the same offense, you know, when you have a substitute in. Do you feel at that point when that happened that everybody else decided to step up and do the same thing, just muster it out and help you guys, you know, help you out in that sense? Because if you're not there, somebody else has to step up. So I'm pretty sure everybody in your squad probably has that mentality already, right?
Yeah, I don't think anyone ever has their guard down, really. I feel like it may not be seen with our team, especially maybe not with our running backs, but we didn't have a lot of depth this year, but every person counted, and we have so much talent despite the fact that we don't have a lot of depth. So I think, you know, if a player goes down, in most cases we have somebody that we can throw in and we feel just as confident in, especially on the offensive side of the ball. So it's not too much of a worry. We're concerned, you know, when a teammate goes down or when somebody gets injured, but we're confident in who we have to replace them because our coach has spent, you know, just as much time with every individual. So it's not really reason to be nervous per se.
Oh, okay. And I think that bodes confidence with a good championship caliber team or a good squad that obviously feels that, you know, at any moment somebody can step in and maybe not to fill the same shoes, but enough to where they can accomplish their goal, which is either to win the ball game at that point. So now, Whitney, can you tell the fans a little bit about those folks that obviously create the holes for you, the individuals that obviously have made major season what it was in terms of, you know, opening, as I say, the floodgates, giving you the opportunity for the explosive outburst and you know, the corner opportunities for first downs. Can you tell the fans a little bit about the militia and the people that obviously contributed to your success this year?
Absolutely. I call me biased, but I feel like I have the best O-line in front of me. And for me, obviously, as a running back, that's where it starts. I have an amazing center, Amanda Alpert. We call her Alpo. She's really a voice and a leader on the team beyond just being a beast on the field. She's a motivator. She keeps us in line, and she's probably every team's dream for a center. And then I have, you know, I'm sure you guys know Stephanie Jeffers, who went to went over with the Team USA. She's also a beast, and she stands out to me because she just has, like, it's funny because our team, our offensive side, we're very composed, and there's a lot of order. And then I think about our defense, and they're crazy, and I want them to be crazy. But she's kind of hopping both sides of the ball in the sense that she's crazy, and I love it. And that's who I want to be running behind when I know, you know, we're going fourth and one, you know, or we're in the red zone. She is an animal, and I love her.
So Smash Mouth football is what she plays, right? And no fear,
yes.
just get it done.
Absolutely
and
not.
Push it over and
right.
Awesome.
Right. And we have some other quiet leaders on our team who are more quiet than Steph, Candy and Beth, my guards. They're not the biggest on the field, but they make their presence known, and they're there when it counts. And I think this year with our offense, we have a lot of schemes with pulling guards, and they were always there. I always knew to look for their bottoms to get me through a hole or to get me through a wedge, you know, whether it's down the middle or sweeping on the outside for like a power. They were always there. And Reese Woodfine, Charisse, she is one of the most consistent players you'll ever get to play with, I'll probably ever get to play with. And she's an amazing lineman, but the other thing about her is she, you know, most people don't think of linemen as being the most athletic, but she is an amazing athlete. And she, I remember one time we turned the ball over, I think it was on an interception, and she chased this girl down to, I think it was like the 20 or the 30, but no one would expect a lineman to catch, you know, a corner running the ball down the field, but she did.
And you know, Whitney, when you say that, it's kind of like you giggle a lot about it, but you have to say, like one of my coaches used to say, you know, when you come from offensive linemen and you don't think they're that big enough, it's just the amount of heart that it took for them
exactly.
to say, I'm not letting that play get away, and I'm going to take care of it. So that's awesome. That's an awesome accomplishment
yeah.
to have somebody that most people doubt a speed mode or doubt, you know, to do that, and then getting it accomplished, yeah, it's probably a very amazing feat.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. That was inspiring for me to see as a running back. But she's a great athlete. She's a great teammate. She has so much heart.
Well, you know, and your quarterback is no slouch, and she's probably up there in the top three, if not top two, or even top five every year. So you got an opportunity, you know, with a great passing game as well. So a combination of balance is really what put together, I think, your amazing season. So, Whitney, did you think you were going to amass the amount of yardage that you did based on the people in front of you that were obviously executing their positions and the plays?
I definitely didn't doubt it. I never doubt my line. I put a lot of faith in them. And not just to praise the line. I also had a lot of receivers and, you know, my tight end that were out there doing some amazing blocking. But I know I can count on them when they need to be there. But I just think for me, with the yards I put up this year, I know last year I put up just over 1,000 yards, and I didn't feel like I had the best season I could have had. So I really thought about an off season, and if I perfected everything that I really wanted to work on, I felt like I could put a lot of yards up on the board. And that's not to say that was my true intention, but when you think about goals, that's something you can measure, and that's something you can, you know, really evaluate yourself by, because you can measure it. You see your progress every week, and it's motivating you, and it's, you know, telling you need to do better, you can do better. So with the 2,000 yards, I felt it was achievable for me, but it could only happen if I worked on the smaller aspects of my game that I wanted to perfect.
Yeah, and that's a key right there, is like working together. I think that's what makes this sport more likable than any other sport, is the fact that there has to be unity in terms of execution. And if it doesn't happen, you can see the results on Sunday with, you know, you can perfect example is the Jacksonville Jaguars. You know what I mean? It's just not working. And unfortunately,
yeah.
That's how it worked. That's how it turns out. Now, Whitney, you had an amazing ending to a, you know, individual season. Unfortunately, you know, you fell short against Chicago, and not to say that Chicago is any slouch of a team, because obviously they were probably the best team in the whole year. So what was the feeling for you guys? You guys lost by 1 point the year before. Obviously, coming into the matchup, you guys obviously probably had the mindset that you guys were able to accomplish this, you know, given last year's loss. So what happened in Chicago that you can kind of pinpoint and say we could have done better?
You know, it's funny because I've, you know, obviously we ended the season on a sour note, and I've talked with a lot of my teammates on offense about what went wrong, and a lot of us are still scratching our heads, and obviously Chicago was unlike any other team we had faced during the season. We normally put up a lot of points on the board, and we went into the half with 0 points on the board, and for me, it's like the year before when we lost by 1 point, we can chalk it up to a lot of different things or a lot of different plays that didn't work out. But this year, Chicago is simply the better team, and I give them, you know, all their due respect and their due credit. I think they, you know, went to the championship game the year before and they didn't win, and they probably came in just as motivated, if not more, than, you know, our team did, having lost in the semifinals by 1 point. So I'm sure they game planned really well for us, because everything we tried, it seemed, wasn't working, especially the first half. And, you know, we finally got a little bit of momentum in the third quarter, and then we had the lightning delay, and we came back and we just could not turn it around. And I'm sure they were determined to not let this game come down to 1 point again, you know? So, they played.
Whitney, they play amazing defense, given the points that they have. They play some really tough defense. So you got to give them credit, you know, in that sense, too, because they had an opportunity to, you know, just like you guys lost it in the semis the year before, they ended up losing, you know, short on winning it. So, yeah, to your point, they were probably a little bit more aggressive.
Definitely. I think they have some amazing linebackers. I know that's, you know, usually who I'm up against as a running back. I know they sent blitzes all the time, but anytime I did get the ball, I felt like I had a linebacker in my face immediately. But they were definitely all over, I feel like, everything we did.
Now, you know, is it a situation, Whitney, where you're stepping away from the game at this year, or do you feel like you're going to have a couple more seasons that you're going to contribute to this team?
Oh, God, I hope to God that I have many more seasons I can contribute to this team. I know I have injuries that I'm addressing right now, but I plan on being back ready to go come February, if not sooner. I'm definitely not done with this game.
Awesome. That's great to hear, because a lot of fans, you know, second-guess everybody in the women's game, because, you know, there's other things that spring up in your life, career moves, you know, parenting, motherhood, you know, all the other things that come up in life. So it's great to hear that you're able to, you know, do another season. So we're going to look forward to, you know, taking a look at your the Boston Militia one more year in 2014 with you at the helm as well, to helping out that team get back to maybe the national championship. Whitney, I want to make sure that you understand you have an amazing amount of fans on social media, Twitter, Facebook. Everybody was following you guys throughout the year. At Backseat Coach, which is probably your biggest fan, on Twitter and social. You know, he covers a lot, and he was doing an amazing job on tweets and keeping everybody informed on game day play opportunities and, you know, and stuff like that. And that really helps a lot in terms of, you know, for fans. So not just the Boston area fans at this point, but I just want to tell you that you have amazing fans on social media as well. So where can fans engage with you as we get towards February and getting ready for another season next summertime? Are you on Twitter, on Facebook? What's your main, engagement with fans?
I think I'm not on Twitter. I find it a little overwhelming, and I feel old talking about it. But I think probably the best way to get in touch with me is probably Facebook. Whitney Zilly, if you find me on Facebook, I'd be more than willing to respond and get in touch with you guys. I think we do have great fans. Just the sport itself does have a lot of great fans. So if anybody is willing to reach out to me, I'm definitely willing to respond.
Awesome. So, Whitney, we appreciate your time, taking out the time out here. I know it's late on the East Coast. Looking forward to, obviously, the Patriots and Falcons coming up here tonight, so hopefully that's a good game. And hopefully New England comes up on top, and I'm pretty sure that's what's going to be the case. You never doubt Tom Brady, and even though I'm not a really big Tom Brady fan per se in terms of the rivalry, because they beat my Rams in the Super Bowl, but I got to give him props for as an individual. He's an amazing athlete, an amazing quarterback. So I have a little bit of negativity on one end, but overall, it supersedes the fact that he is an amazing athlete and probably a Hall of Famer, shoo-in. Overall.
Yeah.
So we'll appreciate your time. I will probably try to contact you if that's okay with you starting, January, February. We'll look into maybe touching base again on the radio and giving fans an idea what the militia season is going to look like for 2014 and then going into the season. Hopefully we can touch base as well. So just know that you have fans out there that obviously appreciate the effort that you put out this year. Congratulations on the record for the rushing title. Is a huge accomplishment. Should be able to, get you some sort of Hall of Fame, probably in Pittsburgh, if it doesn't get you in Canton, but hopefully in Pittsburgh. So we'll push for that when time comes, especially if you stepping away. Because I think, it's an amazing feat and it needs to be given some gratitude and appreciation because it was a great season.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And thank you to all the fans that follow and support the Boston Militia and women's football in general.
All right, Whitney, enjoy the New England Patriots against Falcons Sunday night game. And like I said, we'll touch base in 2014 and see how the season's going to go for you.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Enjoy your evening.
Thanks. You too. Have a good night. Or afternoon? Evening?
So that was Whitney Azili from the Boston Militia, and she was the Women's Football Alliance rushing record holder. First time in the women's game that we had a 2,000-yard rusher. So you can want to get equivalent to the Eric Dickerson of the NFL. There she is, Whitney Azili. And she had 37 touchdowns. She was averaging about 16.6 yards a carry. Her longest stretch was about 88 yards. So an amazing athlete, and we look forward to seeing her on the field and covering her and mentioning her accolades coming in 2014 for the Boston Militia. So if you want to get a hold of her, or contact her, you can always go to Boston, add Boston Militia on Twitter. You can always type in Boston Militia on Facebook. And they also, on their website, they do an amazing job with information about tryouts and community work, and they do an amazing job helping the New England area with support as well. So hats off to Whitney Zillian. We'll touch base with her, obviously, in 2014. Now we're going to bring in our big guy, which is John Cupa from Yahoo Sports. And from ESPN Charlotte previous to that, and he's been known for every other thing, but let's just put it out there, a big Cleveland Browns fan. So let's bring on John on the air. John, are you on?
We are. How you doing, my friend?
I'm doing fantastic, John. Thanks for taking the time to touch base with us this week. Can you believe this? For the first time in the history that I've been on Twitter, I was able to tweet a two-game winning streak for the Browns, even though I don't follow the Browns, but pretty much that's what it was. So what do you think of that?
I'll tell you what, today for Cleveland sports has been absolutely amazing. Obviously, Browns beating the Bengals, if anybody a month ago or even last week would have said that the Browns would have held the Cincinnati Bengals to 6 points, beat them 17-6 with a third-string quarterback at the helm in Brian Hoyer, I would have called you crazy, but what was equally as impressive is that even though the Browns were downtown at Cleveland Browns Stadium, over in Minnesota, our beloved Cleveland Indians rolled off their 10th straight win to lock up that number one wild card spot and will host either the Rays or the Rangers this Wednesday at Progressive Field to see who ends up playing either the Red Sox or the Athletics for that wild card spot. Absolutely amazing day for the city of Cleveland today.
Yeah, and you know what? I was shocked at the fact that this young kid came in, and he was playing very, very good ball early on, and everybody was questioning the move. I think everybody's heart just fell off when this announcement made it. Even, you know, the national media was like, oh, okay, well, it's Cleveland, no big deal, right? But I'm pretty sure in Cleveland it was a big deal. It was like, oh, my God, what? We are screwing again? But I think it's
a good move.
I think, you know, it's a good move. I think it's good.
I think what it boils down to with everything, obviously the Trent Richardson trade was the big deal in Cleveland. And then you look at Brian Hoyer, who's a local kid, went to a high school powerhouse here, St. Ignatius, grew up in North Olmsted right down the road from Cleveland. And you got a guy who got his one NFL career start with the Arizona Cardinals last year. Now, anybody who knows the NFL and football knows that the Cardinals had a circus turnstile of quarterbacks last year. It was one of the most awful regimens that we've ever seen in pro sports as far as quarterbacking is concerned. And he got a shot there to come back home. It was a nice story, everything like that. But when we look at what the Browns have done, when they won surprisingly last week at Minnesota, and then they come home and they win a home game against a very good Bengals team, I really appreciate what the players have done on the field. However, I'm still very sour about the front office moves because those moves were really primed to set up for 2014 draft and beyond. Telling me that a couple days before week three had even happened, that shows that the front office was punting on the fans. And I truly believe that. I feel bad for the city of Cleveland. I know that Trent Richardson didn't have the greatest start to his NFL career, but how many people can we base a 17-game NFL career on and then trade for a future first-round pick? That's what we've been hearing in Cleveland year in and year out. Same with your Rams. I mean, you look at this RG3 trade, and I'm sorry to switch guns real quick, but who's really making out on that trade right now? I know the Rams got everything in the kitchen sink for that, and here we are, the Redskins are RG0-3. I had to throw that in there. And the Rams are, I mean, last week they looked helpless. And they, you know,
it's still building with the future.
You have a great coach in Jeff Fisher. I mean, you have all these parts. You have a number one draft pick at your quarterback, and it's just not panning out. So when you see what Cleveland did, I could understand if it happened before the season started. I could see it happen when the season ended. But going into week three, it was a clear sign that the front office had punted on the fans and the city of Cleveland. However, they've been saved by the heart and soul of the guys on the field saying, you know what? Yeah, people think that we're giving up and everything like that, but we're going to go play our tails off. And they have the past 2 weeks. And I'm very proud of the players of the Cleveland Browns for stepping up and giving this city something to look forward to for this year and not have to wait till 2014.
Yeah, even John, I think really to your point, it's just a matter of understanding what you need, and I don't think they really understood that yet. And then when the time came where they can make a move, you know, you have to applaud them for making the move, but you still, like you said, you still have to criticize them for not prepping, you know, to make a decision prior to that, because that really is a shell shock. You know, the week three in, yeah, you kind of deflate the, you know, the crowd and the atmosphere of it. But, you know, being a local kid, getting his shot, that's a good sign. I mean, it's a situation now where he needs to embrace that. And the team does have very good quality, you know, athletes on the team, not to say that. I mean, they're not well-known nationally, but overall, I mean, some of those players did step up today. So it's a situation where maybe they grow from this and they go for it. And beating the Bengals, that's a good sign, given the fact that that division is really, you know, the Steelers in the pits right now after London. And then you put together Baltimore, didn't look too well, you know, with Flacco and everybody. So, you know, it was probably a good high today for Cleveland all the way around.
Absolutely. And, you know, you mentioned the AFC North, and prior coming into the season, even last year for that matter, always considered one of the real blue-collar, smash-mouth football conferences, and always the Browns being at the bottom. But you look at the overall work, and Pittsburgh has just completely fallen off the map. They look in so much disarray, a lot of injuries to that offensive line. They can't find a running game, which has been a staple of the Pittsburgh Steelers for, you know, since we could put on our own diapers. And you look at the Ravens, last year's Super Bowl champions, clearly not the same team they are this year. Joe Flacco throwing 5 interceptions to a up-and-coming Bills team. I don't want to say that the Bills are a great team, or, you know, but they always circle the wagons, and they handled them pretty handily today.
But, you know,
then you look
at
the Browns.
EJ Manuel is probably the best rookie quarterback this season. It's probably you've got to put him right now in the Russell Wilson question him in that sense. But I think he's evolving pretty well, and that's a good sign, I think, overall. And you know, it's just I think this division right there at Buffalo is I think they're going to surprise. That's pretty much what I think is going to happen. They're going to surprise some people.
Yeah, what's interesting about Buffalo is when you look at what they did and drafting EJ Manuel early, if you kind of look back and you look at the draft and you look who was available and you looked at the needs of the Buffalo Bills, they really didn't have another direction to go. They knew Ryan Fitzpatrick wasn't their guy. And when you look at the QBs on the board, when you're looking at EJ Manuel and Geno Smith and Matt Barkley and so on and so forth, I think with the offense that they have with C.J. Spiller, Fred Jackson, Stevie Johnson, and some other guys on that offense who are good speed, they run routes well. C.J. Spiller and Fred Jackson, that's a great tandem when both healthy. And I just think he fit the system well. And when you look at the Bills, I just think the only problem that people had with that pick was it was the Buffalo Bills. I don't think anybody was really upset that it was EJ Manuel. He did a hell of a job over in Florida State. And I think he, like you said, I think he was most NFL ready, but it was a team he was inheriting. But you look at their play, you look at some of the things that they do, they've been in pretty much every game. And believe it or not, this Thursday, it's a short week for both teams, is that the Browns face the Bills Thursday night for Thursday Night Football on the NFL Network. So you'll see Brian Hoyer, who's essentially a rookie. You'll see E.J. Manuel, who is a rookie. You'll see a lot of young talent on that team. I liked what you said about Cleveland and some of the guys who have stepped up. The Browns have a nice ladder system right now, even though a little light in the backfield. They have Jordan Cameron, who, if you haven't picked him up on fantasy football yet, you're crazy. Because he's one of the top tight ends.
We got him last week, so yeah.
That's a great pick. Right, I mean, the guy is coming through. I put him in the top 3-4 tight ends in the league. He just needed a shot, and he's getting it, and he's proving his worth. You have a great slot receiver and veteran Devon Best, who came over from Miami last year. And you have your deep threat in Josh Gordon, went crazy against the Vikings last week, had a great game today against the Bengals. So you get to see that. And the offensive line is very good. You have a stalwart in Joe Thomas at the left tackle position. You have an all-pro center Mack, or Alex Mack at center. And the Bills are essentially built the same way. So you're seeing – when you were talking to Whitney in the last segment that you had, you mentioned the Patriots. And the Patriots are, as long as Tom Brady and Bill Belichick are on that team, the Patriots are always going to be good. But in that division, I think it suits the Bills well because they have to play good teams. You're going to play your Dolphins twice a year. You're going to play a Jets team that is, I don't want to say significantly better, but I think with Mark Sanchez and Tim Tebow out of the mix now, you have a more defined team in New York. And then obviously the Patriots. So the competition within the AFC East is much greater, helping the Bills. They're going to see these teams two times a year. And then next year you're going to have more. It's EJ Manuel's going to have his shot. And I really think, like to your point, that he definitely is the elite quarterback that came out this year. Not saying that it was a great class by any means, but clearly sticking his face out, saying I was the only first-round pick quarterback in the draft this year, and I'm going to go out there and prove it and win some football games like he's done.
Now, John, let's turn into, because we got a couple minutes here, so I know you're a busy man, to let you go and stuff. Let's turn into the 4-0 teams this week that so far have kind of evolved. What's your thoughts on Chiefs, Seahawks, and then obviously there's a couple 3-1 teams, which is the Colts. What's your feeling on Andy Reid? I knew as soon as they announced Andy Reid in Kansas City, you had a winner. You know what I mean? It just you had that feeling where this guy's going to come in. He was so consistent in Philadelphia, I just couldn't get over the hump, consistently. But the Chiefs at the pits of where they were, never making the playoffs for so long and being horribly as it is, this has got to be such a huge high for that organization.
So absolutely. You look at the Kansas City Chiefs organization and not just the consistency. I know they've been down the past couple of years, but even a few years ago, they went 10-6 and didn't have a bad year when Matt Castle had first gone over there. But the fan base at Arrowhead is one of the most dynamic. I mean, you think about great fan bases. You think about Raider Nation. You think about even the Dog Pound in Cleveland, the Browns backers across the globe. But those fans in Kansas City are so darn passionate. And you mentioned Andy Reid. And Andy Reid, anybody that followed his career in Philadelphia, is a quarterback's guy. He took the likes of a Kevin Cobb. He took the likes of a Jay Feely and Donovan McNabb, Jeff Garcia, Michael Vick. He rejuvenated a lot of careers and made guys who couldn't get on the field for any other team look like all-stars. And to go to Kansas City and inherit a quarterback in Alex Smith, and I know you're on the West Coast out there, but my feeling on Alex Smith, I think the guy is fantastic. I think he's one of the better quarterbacks in the league. Everybody doesn't give him a lot of credit because he doesn't throw for the most amount of yards, but he doesn't make mistakes. The guy completes almost 60% of his passes, 60 to 65% of his passes, keeps the interceptions down. And you have a Jamaal Charles. You have a Dwayne Bowe. You have a defense that is stout from the back. I mean, Eric Berry in the back, all the way up to Tom Ali in the front. You have such a great base on defense. And for them to be 4-0, I don't want to say it's surprising, but the turnaround from last year having the first pick in the draft to this year being 4-0, and the worst possible thing for the Kansas City Chiefs, there's just another team in that division that has one Mr. Number 18 who,
yeah.
If you've been watching football the past 3 weeks and have been able to watch Peyton Manning orchestrate just a – it's unbelievable. If anybody can disagree that this guy is one of the, if not the greatest quarterback at the line of scrimmage in all of football, I would have to question you and sit you down, you know, in front of a light and just kind of grill you on what
Manning,
you're doing.
Manning gives you new life. You know, he came into Denver with so many doubts, and now, you know, everybody knows what he's all about. You know what I mean? It's just as simple as that. He came in with so many doubts, and now
absolutely.
You know what he's all about. I mean, he's schooling people out there in a lot of plays. John, let's go to the black and blue division. Do you think the Lions this year, I mean, given what they just did to the Bears, do you think the Lions are the surprise? I mean, they brought in Bush. You got Sue, but I think Bush really infused that offensive threat and gave Stafford the opportunity for Megatron to be a little bit more open. It's more balanced, and I think that's what Detroit's at right now. I think Detroit's more balanced than they were ever, and given their defense,
yeah,
not so bad, but, you know, I think they're more balanced.
You look to Detroit, and you have to go back a long way to when Detroit had a running game and, you know, arguably one of the best running backs that ever played the game in Barry Sanders. But the problem with Barry Sanders, he didn't have a quarterback. Scott Mitchell was his quarterback. You had a semi-decent receiver in Herman Moore. But outside of that, there wasn't much. And they had about a Swiss cheese of a defense as you can ever imagine. You look at the weapons they have now. You have Matthew Stafford, who is, I mean, he's either got a metal arm or it's just a cannon because he wants to chuck it every time. You mentioned Calvin Johnson. If there's a better receiver in the league, argue with me to the day we die about that. The guy is head and shoulders above the rest of the league as far as talent and what he can do on the football field. But
John,
you looked at their running
Peyton,
game.
John, Peyton Manning to Megatron, is that fantasy? Because it's on my team.
well, if you have
you know
that,
going on.
Bless your heart. I mean, bless your heart. But what you've seen this year, Oscar, is that Megatron isn't getting the touches because, as you mentioned, Reggie Bush, who I don't want to say that he's not what he was claimed to be. I just think in every system that he was in New Orleans and Miami, so on and so forth, no one knew how to utilize him. It wasn't USC. I mean, it's a completely different game from college to NFL, and I don't think anybody was able to tap into his talents. Now you see the guy. He's getting limited touches in the backfield, but he's still averaging 5 to 6 yards per carry, but the guy can get to the backfield. I think that's something when you have a deep threat and you're drawing the defense to a Calvin Johnson, you open up that bubble screen, you open up a teacup formation on the right side where he can pull off and come into the gap and shoot forward. And you also just have, running back draws and everything like that. he's still fast. Some of the runs that he had today, he just outran people. So he's still got it in him. He hasn't absorbed a lot of hits. And I think adding that game to the Lions with what we saw last year and Calvin Johnson breaking the records. But as you mentioned with the defense, they could score 35, but they give up 42. You look at their front seven with Nick Fairley, and you also have Kyle VandenBosch, and you have Ndamukong Suh, if he can stay on the field and stop spending for stupid penalties. But they are suspect in the secondary. I know that Jay Cutler threw three picks today, but started to gradually come back. But, you know, you look at that division, and the Vikings, I don't. It's a wash with them. I think the only thing worth watching on that team is Adrian Peterson at this point. I don't think Christian Ponder is the answer up there, nor do I think Matt Castle is the answer. You still have the Bears, who were 3-0. They dropped one today. And then you still have the Packers, who are surprisingly 1-2. But if you can ever count out Aaron Rodgers, you can't. You just cannot do it. The talent's there, just playing some good teams, and there you go. So to put the Lions in a position to win 10, maybe go 9-7, not make the playoffs, why not? They went 4-12 last year, had a tough year. But they do have the talent on that team to possibly make a decent above 500 run in the NFC North.
So, John, we're going to go four downs before we let you go. So go four downs right now.
Let's go.
Winner, Pats and Falcons. Who are you picking tonight, Sunday night?
Falcons?
Okay. All right. Mm-hmm. So the Monday Nighter, is there going to be any shocker if the Dolphins beat the Saints?
Yes, it will be a shocker if the Dolphins do beat the Saints. I think Sean Payton back with Drew Brees on the sideline, you can clearly tell that the chemistry was not there last year with all that fiasco last year. But to see them working on the same page, seeing the offense that they're putting up, having Rob Ryan go down there to construct that defense, you see a completely different Saints team, very 2008-like.
All right, let's go with Bears for real with Trestman or not?
I think that it's a very good move for Jay Cutler to become a better quarterback. However, Jay Cutler isn't the type of guy that wants to become a better quarterback, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, that makes sense. Thursday night affair at Cleveland, Buffalo, and I know who you're taking, of course. But what's your gut
slobber? It's going to be a slobber knocker. But honestly, you know, when I look at both teams and I see on paper and what I've seen the past couple weeks of both of them playing, I see balance between their offenses. However, to look at today's matchup against the Bengals, that defense of the Browns, I kid you not, and people can swear at me left and right, that's a top five defense. They shut down
one of the
best receivers in the league. And Andy Dalton, with the weapons that he has, you have Jermaine Gresham, you have Bernard in the backfield, and then you have A.J. Green, like I said, probably one of the best receivers in the league. To hold the Bengals to 6 points, that's a stout defense. And what's great about the Browns this year is they're about 6-7 deep on that offense or that defense, so they can be fresh. So I think it'll be a close game, but I do think the Browns pull it out Thursday night.
Awesome. So, John, it was great to have you on. Hope that I can hook up with you a little couple weeks coming up the road here so we can talk about, you know, what's going on with the NFL again. Great insights. We appreciate your feedback. We wanted to bring you on, and how fitting that the day that we bring you on, Cleveland just rises to the occasion over after 2 weeks of good play. How does that happen?
Absolutely.
Is that the gods or what?
We are one of the mediocre teams in the NFL once again. God bless this country.
Yeah. Well, you know what? And to your point, I think they're an improving squad, and hopefully, you know, they'll prove it this Thursday. And not to say the Buffalo is a slouch or anything, but, you know, It's a good matchup. Hoyer versus Manuel. It's a, like you said, it's a youth, a feel for it. And if the Cleveland D shows up as they did in Cincinnati, I think the potential is there for them to win it and get the three weeks in a row.
And let me tell you this: if Cleveland winning two games in a row and being 500 is odd, wait to see what happens if they win three in a row and are above 500. This city will turn itself apart.
That's and all we need now is I know for a fact that, you know, I would get excited in the NFC West, but all we need now is for the Browns to beat down the Steelers somehow this season, and then that's pretty much gravy right on top of it already. So,
well, if we can steal one of them, I mean, it's always regardless of how bad each team is each year or what the records are, whatever. Browns Steelers is always a classic rivalry, and if the Browns can take one of them, the city's happy. So, you know, we'll definitely see. But, let's take it a week at a time. Let's get the 3-2. And, heck, I mean, we're tied for the division lead right now. So if we get that one, we'll actually be in first place if we can win on Thursday night, which I don't know what I'll do.
Now, John, before we let you go and out of here, tell everybody where you're at. I know you were moving around. You were at ESPN. Now you're at Yahoo, so let's let everybody know where they can find you socially on the Facebook and Twitter and Instagram if you have one. I haven't seen your real face on Instagram, so I'm assuming you're hiding in some sort of facet.
Well, I'm actually not on Instagram. I am on Facebook. It's just JONCUPO, and I'm also on Twitter. As you know, that I love the Twitter. If I could get an IV and shoot it into my arm 24/7, I'd be happy with that. But my handle is @SportsDoneMyWay, and I love gabbing with people left and right. Remember, just hate the opinion. Don't hate the person. No reason to get nasty. And also, you can check me out at the Sports Hub on the Yahoo Sports Radio Network Podcast Center. You can also find it on Podcast One and iTunes. And also on Facebook, look for the Sports Hub YSR. Send us your question and comments. You can also email us to the show. It's thesportshubysr@yahoo.com, fittingly. And we love taking the questions. It's all about the show. We can have the best guests. We can have the best content. But if nobody's listening, you, the fans, then it's not worth it. So we want to hear from you. And as always, Oscar, I want to thank you. Always a pleasure talking with you, my friend. And I really appreciate what you do on following both what I follow now in the NFL, but obviously my old stomping grounds with the Women's Football League. Very proud of those ladies for what they're doing. It's great to see them on the field again and doing what they got to do. Great interview that I was listening to with Whitney earlier. Do a hell of a job out there, and let's do it again sometime soon.
Yeah, John, I appreciate it for you coming on and giving us the time, and we look forward to a good Cleveland couple wins next couple weeks, and maybe bring you on board as we get into the playoff push. So give the fans some insights on what you're looking at towards the NFL season going into the playoffs. So enjoy your afternoon. Have a great viewing of the Sunday night game tonight, Patriots and Falcons. And I'm pretty sure we'll see Tom Brady pretty much at his best. I don't have that much confidence in Atlanta right now, but I know even a bad Patriots team has the potential to win. So we'll go with Brady tonight.
Well, I remember you got Julio, Roddy White, and Tony Gonzalez right there, and a great quarterback in Matt Ryan. So it's going to be a great matchup, great game for Sunday Night Football, and we'll see what the outcome is tomorrow morning.
All right, John, enjoy it. Have a great afternoon. Safe travels out there, and we look forward to touching base in the future coming up in a couple weeks.
Sounds good, my friend. Thank you so much. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, John. Bye. All right, so that was John Kupo from Yahoo Sports. You can follow him at Sports My Way on Twitter, and you can also interact with him. Like you said, diehard Cleveland Browns fan, but overall NFL insider, and he's done everything in terms of the radio skit, ESPN as well, now on Yahoo. A great friend of ours as well. He's an amazing knowledge that he has for the pro football game as well as the women's game he's followed before. So we're hoping that in the next couple weeks here or down the road, maybe as we get into November and early December, we'll bring him on board and give us his insights on an overall view of the NFL as well as the Cleveland Browns and see how they're at. And so we look forward to that chat. I'd like to thank Whitney Zeely for coming on and giving us the time today, the WFA rushing record holder for 2013. Just an amazing athlete, amazing woman as well, and she is going to be back in 2014 stronger than ever to try to get the militia over the hump and to get her into the national championship for the Women's Football Alliance. So for John Kupo, Whitney Zeely, this has been Oscar Lopez. We look forward to next week for another edition of Gridiron Beauties Radio here on Blog Talk Radio, and we're still looking for a co-host, so if you're interested, shoot us up at Twitter at Gridiron Beauty, or you can go to Facebook as well at Gridiron Beauties on Facebook. So thanks for listening, and we look forward to next week as we have another current star of the women's game and then more National Football League action.